I've touched on this before, this topic this morning. I've called it an unshakable peace because I believe that is possible. Unshakable peace. I'm basing my thoughts on John chapter 14 and verse 27. And I trust that somehow I could bring a word in season, a word that would touch you and minister to you and bless you and encourage you and inspire you and all the other things that we'd like to see happen. So let me read the text. John chapter 14, verse 27, the words of our Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. I'm going to touch on that again, but remember we've read that verse now. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I concluded something when I was preparing this, that as a pastor, I have spent my ministry life in the presence of fearful people. That the majority of people that I have been able to minister to were fearful people. That's why they came to talk. That's why they came to share. That's why they came to open their hearts, because they were afraid. They were afraid of the report they might get. They were afraid of the divorce impending. They were afraid of what might have the children were acting. There's just all kinds of things. But they come and it's, Pastor, I've got something on my heart here today. And I thought, all of that's happened over and over again. It's been my privilege to be able to share with fearful people. And you know why I can so qualified at it? Because I'm scared spitless myself. Things frighten me. Things frighten you. You watch the news. You find your heart often, right, filled with fear. You say, wow, what happened? You know, people killing their children. You sense a shudder of fear. Will I have enough money to live on, you might say. Somebody else has got something else. What about my, will I have my health? Well, who will look after me? And on and on and on it goes. But it has the same thing about it, is that we need an anchor for our souls. If without that, we are really in a difficult strait. I made a note here that an entire category of mental disorders is characterized by anxiety. And anxiety is simply a stress of the mind typified by worry and by dread. You know, the thing that goes bump in the night. And I think it's kind of interesting that that an anxiety may have no specific object. Many people say, what are you so worried about? I don't really know. I'm anxious. You know, I can't point my finger to this or to that or to this or to that or to this or to that. I can't do that, but I feel this anxiety. And many would testify to that, I'm sure, except when it takes the form of perhaps maybe phobias or fear of crowds or fear of flying or something. But for the most part, there's kind of I'm not sure why I'm so worried. But and then as they pour out, you can begin to see things that have caused it in the first place. The point I guess I'm trying to make is that no one lives an anxiety-free life. I'll say that again. No one lives an anxiety-free life. And if you don't think that's true, just wait a little while. You'll have some anxiety to think about. It's just how life is. And so Jesus in John 14 knew what we would experience. As his disciples experienced, so do we. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a command. He's not suggesting we talk about it. He's suggesting we would embrace it. He knew that his peace is not the absence of conflict, but the addition of something else. The world gives a kind of an unusual peace from it. It's the absence of war, really, is what it is. It's the absence of conflict. But God's peace is not an absence of conflict, it's the addition. It's the something else that you can't quite explain it, but I have it. I've got joy like a peace like a river. We sing those songs, or we used to sing a lot of those type of songs. This unshakable peace. So that's what we're looking at here today. We're looking at the peace of Christ, an unshakable peace. I shall not be moved. That in Jesus' name, we will face our fears and we will trust the Lord to see us through, and that we will not be completely overcome by anxiety. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, there's an interesting little phrase in there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these," for what? The coming of, just read, you can just, there's a long paragraph in there, but you can just read some of the things that were coming upon them, seemingly. And so, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and here's the phrase, and at peace. And so really when we greet each other, you know, how are you? Are you at peace? Are you at peace? Am I at peace? And if not, what am I doing with that peace? How am I channeling that? John chapter 16, verse 33, again the words of the Lord. "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." He's the only source of peace that I know of. I don't know of anything else that would see somebody through a divorce or see somebody through a financial collapse or personal bankruptcy. The level of anxiety is right through the ceiling. If you have a situation in your home where somebody is getting divorced, what a painful, terrible thing that is. The ripping apart, right? The ripping apart of lives. Children crying. Situations like that where it's you need something. Oh, to have an anchor, to have something solid to hang on to. And I don't know about you, but I don't, as I look over my life, how in the world would I not be insane by now had it not been for the Lord? Can you not say that? Can you say, had it not been for the Lord, I don't think I would be over there, not here. Just not knowing what else to do. And there are so many, we have many opportunities to minister to people who are in high crisis situations. Right? Because their world is shaking. Maybe they didn't need the Lord so much now, but now they do it and they see it. But they don't know where to turn. And how wonderful if to run into somebody who knows Jesus, the author of peace. Right? The author of peace, to say, listen, it would be my joy to pray with you and to ask the Lord to help you and to you may overcome some of these things. In the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. That's not going to go. If you're waiting for the day when it's going to go away, it's not. It's not ever going to go away. He says, take heart. I've overcome the world. Boy, I'm glad for that. I'm glad it's not the Antichrist. I'm glad it's not my debt load. I'm glad I'm not. No, praise God. Take heart. I've overcome the world. So whatever the world gives you, and it's usually difficult and painful, you know, when people say, well, how's the world treating you? Oh, the world has treated me exactly the same for my whole life. You should ask me, how is the Lord treating me? Not how is the world treating you? I know how the world's treating me. And you know how the world's treating you. The world never treats you kindly. The world, when you are down, the world will kick you. But he says, take heart. I've overcome the world. Wow, the only body who's ever overcome the world is our Lord. And we come to the one who's overcome the world. I say, praise God for that wonderful. This is a solid peace. That's what I'm suggesting here today. We need a solid peace. And what could be more solider than the one who has overcome the world? You see, you can't have peace of mind unless you have something deeper than peace of mind. When you have peace at the depth of your spirit, then peace of mind is a product of that deeper peace. I believe that. You see, you can't have peace of mind if there's conflict in your spirit. If you've got, for example, something between somebody. There's been some conflict, there's been some problems, there's been some accusations, etc., etc. If you have that, and that if that conflict is not resolved, you will not have peace. You see, it has to be at the very deepest level, at the core, where I can say, I've solved that thing, I've gone to that person, I've looked into this matter, and I can say that there's nothing floating around in my life. In other words, if you've got a rage going on over here, if something else is happening over there, and that's building up, you can sing all you want and whistle all you want, but you're whistling Dixie, I'm telling you. You can say, he's with me, 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 and he won't be with you. He won't feel like it's with you. He's with you. Because you haven't resolved the deeper thing. So I want to be able to have you or the Lord look into my soul and say there's no conflicts in there. It's a crucial thing. You can't have peace of mind if there's conflict in your spirit. So I'd say get rid of half of your anxiety. Bring that before the Lord. Let the Lord guide you on that. And I think you will find that there will be a peace that's a wonderful, wonderful peace. There must be peace in your inner man, in your spirit man. Peace in your spirit man is the most important peace of all. I may have a bunch of things whirling around up here, worries, concerns, wondering how, figuring that out, I don't know what's going to happen over there, I wonder if that's going to work with that person, and so on, so on, so on. And you may have lots of those things, but this is a better thing, the peace in your inner man, that I'm built up. And that's the point of praising, saying, thank you, Jesus, I bless you, Lord, I praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. I'm glad, Lord, that thank you for dying for me and rising from the grave for me. And I thank you, God, that there's nobody I need to go to. Because if there is, if there's somebody I need to go to and settle that, don't waste any more time. Solve that so you can have peace on the deepest levels. That nobody can rob your peace, nobody can take your peace, because you've settled it. The peace has been settled. But in your inner man. Not up here. There's lots of things that can, you know, you get a fat flat tire on the freeway. That's an anxiety, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, cars whizzing by, and there you are with a jack trying to, you know. You know, I don't know about your car. My car, the jack is about that long. I said, who in the world? You put your foot on it? Well, you think they would have come up with something a little bit better than that. But that's what, so I thought, well, I'm in good hands, aren't I, if this thing breaks down. Go look at the jack in your car. It's about that long. Can't do it. So, you and I, in our essential makeup, we must be a harmonized person. The outward must be harmonized with the inward. I can't have a part, you know, together, but not other parts together. It doesn't work that way. I must be a harmonized person. That what's going on when you see me on Monday is the same as on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or some other time. It must be that. A harmonized. It's a wonderful thing to be at peace and to be harmonized with your thinking and with everything else. Any peace that's based on mental tricks, you know, like I can do it, 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 I can do it. People, you can take courses now where. Or that, you know, you contemplate the sound of one hand clapping, or you you know, a brick on your stomach and you breathe with the brick, and there's all kinds of things. I don't make fun of those things, because I guess that when you're down on the lowest level, that probably anything would work for you. At least if you're going to be drawn to that at any rate. But so no mental tricks. That will always let you down. Let me down always. So what do we come to then? If we're to be harmonized, if we're to be to make sure there's nothing blocking the peace of the Lord that he wants to pour upon me, well, I know what's left. It's the prayer of surrender. The prayer of surrender. We yield, and in that prayer, oh, how many times I've had to pray this. How many times you've had to pray it. We're all the same. We're all in the same boat when it comes to this. We yield all to you, Lord. All that I know about you, I give to all that I know about me. All that I am and all that I'm not, I yield to you, Lord Jesus. This, Lord, is my moment of surrender. I place everything into the hands of my Heavenly Father. Lord, I'm yours, and you are mine. Lord, as much as I know, I am fully surrendered to you. If I'm not fully surrendered, if I somehow have deceived myself, then, Lord, even right now, I just want to surrender. I just want to surrender completely. All things, if I've hurt somebody, if I've hindered somebody, if I've done something or said something, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me. I don't want anything floating around. I don't want anything who can come up and, you know, bite me. Right? The things, because I didn't deal with it. Because, you know, things do come and you know where they bite you. I should have dealt with that, but I didn't deal with it. And therefore, I have to face it. But now is my prayer of surrender. So that the enemy can come and he can try and find here and try and find here. And he looks for places. He's a roaring lion who looking whom he may oppress. And if you want to cast the devil out of your life, then you must pray the prayer of surrender so that the devil knows whose side you're on, and also the Lord knows whose side you're on as well. But all that I am, I give to you. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. You see, being secure in God is always the best security. I've built my house on the rock. Right? So the winds come. The storms come. Oh, they come. And they come. But we're not worried about that. And Jesus says, a foolish man builds his house upon the rock, but not the wise man. The wise man builds it soundly, securely on Christ. That always the best security. I in Christ and Christ in me. Oh, what a security that is. I have something to base, something solid for my feet. Something solid that I don't have to worry about it, because things will come. Absolutely, they'll come. And yet we, as 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting, oh, that's a great word. And I've said this, talked about this many times. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's why. That's why we can have this unshakable peace. Now there's a places to be careful with, because I find that for some reason I've always been kind of a news junkie. That I, you know, it's not good enough to get it in the morning. You have to get it, read it at night, and I hate that about me sometimes. But then I find, oh, going past, oh, the newspaper. What's this? What does the province say? Same thing as the other one. You know, you got. My point I'm making is that if you watch too much on the TV, you'll go to bed with anxiety if you listen carefully to the news. Is that not true? You should you decide what it is, but there should be a shut-off time. Say, okay, I don't watch that past that time, because I don't want to be thinking about how many times they chopped this person's arm off, or whether they did this or did that or whatever. And you dwell on that, pretty soon those kind of things are floating through your head. And so it's just, I think, generally a good thing. If you're going to cast all your care upon him, again, because he cares for us, then you want to make sure that we're not feeding the machine where we watch too much of it. And I just know something about that I can become anxious when I hear certain things. And we're not to be afraid of things, but on the other hand, we're not to dwell on it either and feed on it. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Boy, what's that worth? You could sell this stuff, right? Wouldn't that be incredible? Because his mind is stayed on you. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, absolutely perfect, whose mind is stayed on you. Praise God. I am so glad that I know the Lord. I am so glad for the anchor. And I'm just grateful. so grateful, this perfect peace. And how many times, maybe 100 times I've heard what I'm just going to tell you now. I've had somebody say, you know, it's strange. I should be really worried. I got enough here to worry about. I should be really worried. But I'm not. I'm not really worried. Oh, I want it to work out well, but I'm not really worried. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm at peace. And it's a peace that is not my own. I didn't come up with this. I'm telling you, not once, not twice, hundreds of times people have said that. So I know this to be not just my experience, but other people's experience, that he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him because we trust in him. That's the anchor. At every age, whether you're 16 or 60, it matters not. But to cast your care upon him, then he will keep us in this perfect peace. Again, it doesn't mean there's not things that we have to deal with, and I'll talk about that in the next couple of moments here. So if you have unsurrendered fears, if I have unsurrendered fears, that's something to consider. And if I have unsurrendered fears and unsurrendered anxieties and unsurrendered conflicts, I'm a wreck. I'm in trouble. And what am I going to do? What are you going to do? The secret is always surrender. I remember, I can't remember who I heard. I think it might have been Kenneth Hagin or something, but he was talking about coming home from a meeting when he didn't have, his tires were so worn and he was broke going from a preaching meeting to another preaching meeting. And the tires were so worn on the car that he had to drive at night in Texas. I think he lived in Texas. Drive at night so that they won't blow, so they won't explode. And so here he's driving at night, and he said the devil got in the car with him. And the devil said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Because the honorarium, I guess, was pretty pathetic. He had no honorarium. He was depending on that. That would be his salary for the next meeting, going to the next meeting. And he says, the devil came in the car and said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? He says, first it was a solo. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Then it became a duet. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Then it became a quartet. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? He said, until there's this volume of accusation and condemnation that God won't look after you and God won't care about you and you will be destitute. That, you know, this thing, this voice is coming. And he says, I said, shut up, devil. I'm going to serve the Lord with all of my heart. And he said, I began to praise God. And he said, I praised him. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I praise you for who you are. You never fail. You will not fail. And, of course, the rest of the story, you know what happens on these. God came through, as he always does. And he learned the most valuable lesson of all. What are you going to do now? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. You have to settle that. You can't be going up and down like this. Well, I think, I'm not sure what to do. I'll see how this works out. And if God gives me what I want, maybe I'll be okay. No, it has to be, I'm solid right now. Whatever happens, I am not going to turn my back on God. If the house goes, if people leave me, whatever else what might ever happen to an individual, he said, get that settled. Get that settled once and for all. That it will not come. Say, well, I thought God was a good God, but I don't know. He doesn't seem so good to me. We're looking for a word here. But that type of wait and see whether God answers what I want doesn't bring the desired result that you think it will. You have to say ahead of time, Lord, I trust you, and you're a good God. Am I going to believe the world, or am I going to believe you? You are a good God, a good God, a good God, a good God. And that's how you win victories. Once you settle that clearly, absolutely clearly in your mind, that you have surrendered all. Lord, it's never going to be about you and me. I will serve you. I'm telling you that now. I will serve you. What a wonderful security it comes. The secret is always, and we know this from all the writers, we know this from Oswald Chambers, we know this from so many different sources, don't we? We know this, that the secret is surrender. Andrew Murray, the secret is surrender. In matter of fact, if you look through the annals of church history, every one of the great men and women of God, they knew this, the secret was in surrender. Surrender it all to the Lord. The surface may be disturbed. Now, see, I don't know about you, but I thought that there's probably, isn't there about a 20-second time that you can kind of scream and yell and cry and you know, and cause a fuss. You know, I mean, it's okay. God, he understands these things. And so if the depth is a little disturbed and you go through a cry, it's okay to cry. It's okay to, you know, to wonder, God, where are I? I thought you were going to supply that, and now it didn't come. Now this isn't going to happen. You know, and on it goes in your mind. It's okay. You've got 15 to 20 seconds of time to decide whether you're with the Lord or against him, but he'll let you cry for a while. Now, stop your crying. Stop your crying and put on Christ and let the Lord guide you and direct you. The surface may be disturbed. Oh, often it is. And there may be some tears. That doesn't mean you're not doubting. It just means that the sudden shock of, for example, that death of that baby or that situation, he's a kind God. He understands those kind of things. But after we have had that moment where we're kind of questioning him, we must decide early in this event. You see, that you can tell whether you're a spiritual person by how far into the conflict you begin to praise. And as you begin to praise early in that situation, you will be a very godly man or woman. Things fall apart because the center cannot hold. See, it's what's going on at the center. And the things, if the center is not solid, then what's going to happen to the periphery? The center must be solid. The things fall apart because the center cannot possibly hold it. There's just too much other stuff there. The center must be stayed on Jehovah, with Jesus living within, guiding us, watching over us. The good news, you know, as I think back of the great people that I have had in my life, I'm so thankful for them because they tell me stories. And every one of them, I think if I picked 50 people, 50 men and women of God that I knew well, I know about their life, and if I was to talk to them, and I said, listen, be honest with me, this thing really what it's cracked up to be? Is this the real thing? You know, does it really mean that? Did God look after us? Does it really mean that he cares for us? Does it? Does it really mean? What's your experience? You know, if I ask them, what's your experience? Did you kind of feel bad that you committed yourself to God and kind of wasted your life when you could have done something else? Are you sorry you trusted Christ? Every time? Never. Never. In all of my life, they will say, in all of my life, he has never failed me yet. Was there moments? Oh, there was moments we were down to the macaroni. But even those, I look back and I said, whoa, what growth times those were. Right? There was times when the job didn't come through when we thought it was going to come through. Or that person passed away and we hoped and prayed that they wouldn't pass away. There's moments like that. But in terms of that, you'd think there would be one or two who'd say, listen, this whole thing's a sham. It's just a mental game that they play. And they say, so, no, that's not. I would never recommend this. You'd think there'd be somebody that wouldn't recommend it. There isn't. Because every single person who has flung themselves upon God, I mean flung themselves, they came up and said, thank God that I know a Savior that has seen me through. Seen me through. So, John chapter 20, verse 19, verse 21. Well, let me go back to Hebrews first. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 4, 1 to 3. He says, therefore, enter the rest. There's a rest of faith where, you know, you might need I may need to get hold of Rex and say, Rex, I'm really feeling stressed over this. Would you mind just praying for me? And God uses a fellow brother or a fellow sister. Doesn't he? I believe so. He'll use somebody else just to bring encouragement to you because they sense you were going through a difficult time. But enter the rest. There is a rest for the children of God. And we, while the world is falling apart, the one thing that should distinguish us is peace. Now, people might be a little say, you seem at ease, even though the world is falling apart. And you know, isn't it interesting? This last couple of years especially, I've heard over and over again news announcers and others saying, what the heck's going on with the world? That's not some fanatical, wild-eyed Christian. Those are people that are in the know. They say, what's going on? And so we don't know either. But we do know, except that I've overcome the world. Jesus saying, I've overcome the world. So enter the rest. And we'll all need to do that. In the weeks and months and years ahead, there are colossal changes going on politically every way. And so you need to be a person solid on the rock. Not up and down and worried and ill and troubled. No, settle that. Decide, plant your feet on the flag of the Lord. And I'll do the same. And if I look like I'm panicking, well, give me a kick. And then we'll move on. We'll trust the Lord. John chapter 20, verse 19, verse 21. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Wow. The Lord must have known something about us, right? Because of all these come over and over again. Peace I give to you, my peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And is he not? He's sending us into a world of uncertainty. Sending us into a world where we, like everybody, worry about outcomes. And yet now we cling hold of the Lord himself. So I'm sending you, he says. I'm sending you. And here's the point. If I'm not growing in peace, I'm probably not growing in life. If I'm not growing in peace, I'm probably not growing in life. In other words, it should be a greater peace as I move closer and closer and closer to the Lord, trusting him, reading his word, and being encouraging and encouraging other people. But if I'm not growing in peace, if I'm more of a bag of worries now than I was 5 years ago, if I'm fretting, if my life is characterized by fretting, Val teases me once in a while. She says, are you worried? She says, no, I'm fretting. She says, you're fretting. She says, your eyebrows. She says, your eyebrows have come. And she was actually right. I was fretting over something. And so I said, Lord, I bring all the things that I'm fretting over, I bring to you. But if I'm not growing in peace, I'm probably not growing in life. Romans chapter 5, verse 11, Paul talks about the peace with God. Peace with God. And then he talks about, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 7, then he talks about the peace of God. And I think it's noteworthy that you can't have peace of God until you have peace with God. And if you're here today, you've never given your heart to Christ. You've never yielded yourself to him. The thing that starts off first is making peace with God, that you have a relationship with him. And out of that will come this glorious, wonderful relationship of the peace of God. And you can't have the one. Say, well, I want the peace of God. Well, you can't have it until you have the peace of God. Isaiah chapter 9, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And where does he live? He lives within me. The Prince of Peace lives in me. How beautiful, how special is that? And my closing thought is this, that peace with God always makes way for the peace of God. Always. I'm going to open the floor in just a moment here, but I'd like to hear this morning. You know, we can go off in 100 different directions about the news events, but I think there's something even better than that for now. And that is, what your experience has been. How have you been able to keep the fears and concerns from, I mean, how have you kept them in line so that you can function without being overrun by fears? What is your experience? What have you, if I say, this, I find that if I do this and this, I'm able to sleep well and to trust God and to grow in that peace. But if I don't, then that's my fear. So who would like to be first? Just to say, tell us your, what has, I hate that word works for you, but you know what I'm saying. Margo. Okay. So if I might, so it's not so much a feeling as a knowing. It's not so much a feeling. Say, oh, I don't feel like the, no, not, it's a knowing. Based on the sovereignty of God. Good word. Somebody else. Lance.
I found when I've been in really stressful situations, sometimes it seems like it's too much for me. And that's because it is too much for me. I've read Psalms, and David went through great stress and employment. And his Psalms are really a ministry to him.
Yes. Sorry, his special.
Pavilion of refuge.
Yeah.
Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. In other words, the stress is just crushing me down and make you feel a shell pavilion of refuge surrounding you. It's been my experience. It's been a great sense of.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance. Please.
I should have jumped into something that sort of came to me. I kind of stopped human trafficking in Canada. So it's all this come just exploded around the province. Oh, he knows the work that I'm doing. And I'm thinking, I'm way too far out there. He has been Jesus. All I do is keep looking up. And I just stay there. I mean, answers speak all over. And again, I haven't spoken for years publicly, but I'm getting these opportunities with politicians and leaders all over. And it's just look to Jesus. That's the key.
Yes. All right. Amen. Look to Jesus. Somebody else. Kathy. Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, what else would be nice would be a parking stall. But I digress. Mike, what year was that? Yeah. Long time. See, what I'm saying is that here you are. Yeah, praise the Lord. Somebody else. John. But to carry us. Wow. That's. Oh, somebody had their hand up. Sorry. Let me put you on the spot here. Yeah, stress is an awful thing, though, isn't it? you can really lose weight. It's a great way if you're losing, you want to lose some weight. Just get some stress going. Drops off like crazy. Somebody else. We've just got a few more minutes here. This is very valuable to hear these testimonies of God's faithfulness because they're what I'm suggesting is. That's true. Well said, Mark. Have you not had moments where the nighttime, what a night, a terrible night, where it seems so large and huge and never going to be any different, never be any better, right? You just feel, and you get up in the, even up in the morning, it doesn't seem as bad. And you realize that's kind of like it must be the enemy because it's so overwhelming. It's such a worry, you know, to have that problem in your life. And yet God sees us through. Somebody else, take two more, then we'll. Yes, Marcel. Too many Marcels.
What works for me is split it up in two things, knowing and the action that for me needs to come after. What I mean is, I know God is already there. I've known that. I learned the hard way. But I have to do an actual thing in order to receive the very best that he has in mind for me, and that is surrender.
Yes.
And I have to make that real for me. I can just experience this person, and this will probably work differently for everybody, but for me, I can't experience any peace coming into the stressful or
You can keep going. It's good. It's good stuff. Yeah, thank you. But you never could believe that you're talking like this from a few years ago when you walked in the door. He hated God and churches and everything. Now he is expounding on it. Beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Marcel. Mark. One more. Please.
I remember something very early on in my current position. Tells a story, or wrote a story, about the fact that one night, in the coldest part of the night, he woke up at his room, his bedroom, so freezing cold, he couldn't figure out what it was. And he looked at the end of the bed, and there stood the devil. And he looked at him and said, "Oh, it's only you. I went back to sleep."
That's good.
That's in a nutshell.
It's only you. Yeah. That's good. I'll take one more of that and then we'll close. Yes.
For me, I've found most of my peace is the trust in God. I find before I really have peace, I have to do what I have to do. I have to do everything I can do in my power, kind of. And then once I've done that, I can just trust in God and be like, I've done what I can do, God. Now it's up to you, and I can trust in Him. But I find I have trouble sleeping if I
On that note, bring your wife. Just trust God, brother. Just trust God. We're going to pray this. We just wanted to be courteous to you, who won't be here for the second service, and therefore miss a chance for us to pray for Tim and Tamara. These guys have been with us in full-time ministry for 6 years. I can hardly believe it's been that long. And it's been a joy to work with Tim and Tamara. They're just good people. What more can we say? Marcel said not to put you on the spot, because I said we should just put him on the spot. But apparently not. But Tim, we'd like to pray for you. If you don't know, he had resigned from the youth ministry and to other bigger, different pastures. And one will be out working, and well, you may want to tell about that part. But he's going to be taking a course this summer or this fall, and then he'll be, we'll see them from time to time. Do you really want to add anything to that?
I just want to make it very clear that I'm not leaving the church like right at this moment. You will all see me still. We're going to be coming to this church at least until like January, so it's not like I'm just leaving.
Good.
So just wanted that to be known. Because
how many like that idea?
People were under the impression that we were gone, and that's not the case.
No. Okay, we'd like a number of people. I know the youth are going to be praying for these guys in the second service here, but if you'd like to come and pray for Tim and Tamara, just come up right now. We'll just have a prayer. You know, we're commissioning him to the next phase. Who knows? You might be sharing at the some of the youth things and seeing you with your wife and family and four children.
Four children.
You know when you're under the anointing. Come, let's stand. Wouldn't it be something if God was just doing something new that you didn't even know he was doing? I think God's able to do that. And Carl, I want you to pray, and then I'll pray, put the amen on it. But let's pray for this couple. You guys, thank you for being who you are. You're a joy. And
Father God, we just lift up Tim and Tamara to you, Lord. In a sense, I feel as if we're all surrogate parents to these kids. We've watched them grow. Grow in grace, grow in maturity, and then find each other and consummate their love for one another, your love, Father, in their lives. And we're so thankful, Lord, to have been a part of that process. We ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to continue to protect and prosper and provide them in the future and their new endeavors. And we just thank you for the contribution that they've made here at Valley Church over the years. Father God, we owe them a great debt of gratitude for their service here. And we just know, Lord, that you're going to repay them in kind. Mm-hmm. We ask you to bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Now, Father, I pray that their going out will be blessed and their coming in will be blessed. We pray, Lord, that this will be a very fruitful time for them, that they'll be amazed at what you are preparing for them. And so we thank you for Tim and Tamara. We thank you for their family here, Lord, and we're just grateful for them. And we pray that we'll, as we see them from time to time, Lord, it'll be a joy just to be with them once again. So, Lord, we lay hands on them, sending them out with the blessing of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah, you maybe catch these guys at the back afterwards. So. Hey, bless you, brother.